It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the show. I'm your host, Scotty Myers. Of course, don't forget, follow us on all the social medias at Scotty Myers on Twitter and the Scotty Myers Show on Facebook and Instagram. We're riding solo this week because we're going to be getting deep into the geek stuff. Oh, we're getting geeky with it. So much geek all over your hands, like, and it's sticky, like when you had too much like caramel or something. Oh, just good, because there is so much geek news this week. So, as we get into it, we will start, without further ado, in the world of Star Wars. Why not? Why not start in a galaxy far, far away? And if we get into some casting rumors for one of the many upcoming Star Wars TV shows, it looks like a fan favorite from an animated series could be crossing over to live action. Wouldn't be the first time it's happened. Of course, it happened with Ahsoka Tano, and it's the Ahsoka show that might be bringing us another fan favorite who is very tied into Ahsoka's story, so it makes total sense. But there's a casting rumor flying out there that they're looking to cast an Asian woman for an unknown role in Ahsoka. Now, sources say that this character is going to be Barriss Offee, who is the Jedi Knight who betrayed the Order and framed Ahsoka. So obviously her story very much tied in with Ahsoka's, and it would make sense to see Barriss reappear, especially if Ahsoka is going to be more active kind of in the galaxy as she's out there. What I assume searching for Ezra Bridger will be the continuing mission in the, at least in the first season. So very much makes a whole lot of sense to have Barriss running alongside Ahsoka, whether it's, you know, maybe a bizarro team up or some sort of, you know, battle. And of course, they're also going to have to tell us how she survived Order 66. So there's a few things that would have to be taken care of there, but very interesting. Now, the thing is all this Star Wars news has to do with the Star Wars TV shows, because there's just so damn many of them being made right now. And that's a good thing. Book of Boba Fett, we know that that is headed our way in December. And we know Robert Rodriguez is the producer there. And he directed that wicked episode of The Mandalorian that really brought Boba Fett back to the mainstream. And now it seems like it's been confirmed that Robert Rodriguez has directed some of the episodes of the Book of Boba Fett. Earlier this week, they said that they had wrapped principal photography. Of course, Rodriguez, who directed Chapter 14, The Tragedy of the Mandalorian, they brought him back to direct a few more. There's some other great directors involved, but we know that Robert Rodriguez will helm a couple episodes at least. And they have also said that the show feels like season 2.5. of The Mandalorian. So look for the Book of Boba Fett coming December on Disney Plus. And just a little side note, Disney Plus has come out and said that all of their shows are now going to debut on a Wednesday. You used to get them on a Friday, but because Loki's doing so well, they have decided that they're going to go with Wednesday releases. So look for the Book of Boba Fett some Wednesday. Not too far off. And switching over to the Andor show, apparently they're going to be bringing back Saw Gerrera, who, you know, spoiler, was a fan favorite, but didn't make it out of Rogue One, you know. And but the thing is this character has become huge in the Star Wars galaxy. He shows up in the Fallen Jedi game. He's been mentioned in Bad Batch. So Saw Gerrera has become a huge figure for the Rebellion. A very pivotal role kind of at the beginning of the Rebellion. So apparently the word is that there's at least a juicy scene or two with Forrest Whitaker as Saw Gerrera in the Cassian Andor show coming to Disney+. So very, very cool there. I love that we're getting more of this backstory to the Empire years. And I'm going to be curious to see what, you know, how all these shows fill it in. Book of Boba Fett will definitely feature some of that. We'll have, you know, Andor kind of, it just, there's a lot of great stories being told in the Star Wars universe right now. It's worth getting excited about if you're a Star Wars fan. And one more little bit of a tidbit of Star Wars news. Of course, this is Star Wars anime show Visions headed our way. And it's the first time Star Wars has gone in an anime direction. And we're going to get a little sneak peek of it at the Anime Expo coming up in July. So not that far off, we'll get our first look at Star Wars Visions. It's the way they look at it is they're saying that it's going to kind of tell some really cool stories, animated shorts through the lens of some of the world's best anime creators and storytellers. So we're going to get this sneak peek during Animo Expo Lite, which will be taking place July 3rd and 4th online, and you can buy tickets online for $5 US. So worth checking out, especially if you're a big Star Wars fan. Get your first look at Visions. So that wraps us up in a galaxy far, far away. And we're going to switch now to the world of DC. A lot going on over there. Just the other day, the anniversary of the Joel Schumacher Batman, Batman Forever, took place. And released the Schumacher Cut trended online. The Schumacher Cut has become a little bit of an online legend, partly spinning out of, you know, the Snyder Cut, obviously. Some other directors have come forward and said, hey, I had a really wicked cut of a movie that wasn't well received. Okay. But the Schumacher Cut was trending. Apparently, people that have seen the Schumacher Cut, basically, they say it makes it a very dark, dark film, which I have a hard time believing, to be honest. Because if you remember Batman Forever, you've got Val Kilmer's Batman. He wasn't terrible. First iteration of Chris O'Donnell as Robin. Then you've got Jim Carrey's Riddler, who's chewing scenery like there's no tomorrow. And just when you think nobody can be more over the top than Carrey's Riddler, along comes Tommy Lee Jones's Two-Face, which is just, I mean, he definitely was like, oh, I'm playing a comic book character, so I'm going to be as comedic and over the top as I can be. So I'm not exactly sure how you take what we saw and turn it into, you know, something dark and a real character study. But that's what people that have seen the Schumacher Cut say. So we'll see. I really have a hard time buying that we'll ever get to see the Schumacher Cut, but I am interested. I definitely am interested in checking that out. Aquaman 2 is filming right now, and we now have a title, thankfully. You know, Aquaman 2 hitting in December of 2022, and it is called Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. You know, obviously, a Lost Kingdom underwater somewhere definitely leaves the door open to a lot of storytelling. We do know Black Manta will be back. We know Amber Heard, despite the rumors of her being fired, is going to be back as Mira. Everybody is basically coming back. James Wan is back to direct. Patrick Wilson will be back as Ocean Master. Everybody we loved from the first one is returning for the very coolly titled Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Although I hear that and I'm like, man, it's got like an Indiana Jones vibe to the title, doesn't it? Just, you know, Indiana Jones and the Lost Kingdom, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Yeah, they kind of go hand in hand. The Flash, it is shooting right now, and Andy Muschietti doing a fantastic job of teasing the ever-living hell out of us online. He recently released a couple of teasers that we should get into. One, little teaser of the new Flash suit. Really up-close shot of the logo and what looked like circuitry kind of coming out of the logo. I'm assuming that circuitry is going to be there to divert the energy, you know. The Flash creates an incredible amount of energy when he runs, so it makes sense that the suit would help disperse it. definitely looked a little bit more high tech than the suit we have seen previously in, whether it was Justice League, Zack Snyder's Justice League, anything like that. This is definitely a different suit. The red definitely looks a bit more vibrant. He's getting that more Scarlet Speedster feel based on this one shot of the logo, but I liked what I saw. And then he dropped a look at Supergirl's costume. Really cool. Here's the thing that got everybody excited about the Supergirl costume drop. We knew Flash was going to get a new costume. We know we've got Michael Keaton's Batman coming back. We know we've got Ben Affleck's Batman coming back. Lots of rumors about other characters showing up. One I'll get to in a second. The thing that was very cool about Supergirl's costume was the S is the same as Henry Cavill's S. Very stylized, but matched up. The texture of the suit looks very much like Henry Cavill's Superman suit. So this is really, a lot of people online see the suit. They love the look of it. What we can see, again, it's a close-up shot kind of the emblem. But it also is, you know, making a lot of people think, hey, this is really tying into the Snyderverse and what Zach has built. So we know Flash is kind of doing a Flashpoint story. We're going to get into the multiverse. There's going to be some resetting. But are we kind of hand-picking out of the Snyderverse kind of the best of the best and moving that forward, which I think would work on a large scale. So really, really cool. And as I said, other characters popping up. If you don't want a spoiler on a potential cameo in the Flash movie, cover your ears in 3, 2, 1. If you go back to the Arrow versus Crisis on Infinite Earths, when the Flash was traveling through kind of the multiverse in time, who do you run into? The Flash. You know, we had Grant Gustin's Flash meet up with Ezra Miller's Flash. It's actually where the Flash gets his name, the Ezra Miller one. But anyway, rumor has it that Grant Gustin will be returning the favor and will be making a cameo as the Flash in the upcoming Flash movie. Very cool if it happens. I'm 100% down for this. I can see it happening. So look forward to that when the Flash hits theaters. Switching over to DC TV, Titans dropped their teaser for season 3. And man, oh man, it was not long, but it was packed. We got our first look at Scarecrow. We got a look at Joker, I'm assuming. We basically, if it was Joker, we saw a sequence of the scene of Jason Todd getting beat down by Joker with a crowbar. We then did see a good look at Red Hood. Looks fantastic. And it was a very ominous tone to the trailer and to what maybe this season holds. I mean, yes, we are going to be dealing with Jason Todd turning to Red Hood, whether that means he's 100% killed or basically, you know, they may not go the whole kind of Lazarus Pit route or something like that. But the voiceover basically had, you know, Dick Grayson saying, hey, welcome to Gotham. It's a special breed of villain here. People get killed. People like us. So really kind of opening the door to maybe even more deaths in the Titans ranks when season 3 drops August 12th on HBO Max. Really looking forward to that. The biggest story in DC this week was one that was pretty ridiculous in all honesty. The biggest story in DC this week was it came out that the Harley Quinn animated show, as it was getting ready to go into season 3 production, the heads of DC were looking through the scripts and they came across a sequence where they said, you know what, we can't have you do that. They've been pretty liberal with letting the Harley Quinn show writers and that get away with some crazy stuff. But apparently there was one that went too far. And what it was an entire sequence where Batman was going down on Catwoman, doing a little oral fixation on Catwoman. And they were like, no, we can't have that. I think what made the story blow up more was the quote was, heroes don't do that. So really, that's fire for, you know, every guy out there that doesn't want to do at that. He just basically now looks and says, well, I'm a hero. That's what DC says. But it's also just, it is a weird thing. You know, I love kind of reality based superhero stuff, like what Nolan did with Batman and you know, what we're getting. And I love some of the silliness that we get, but I don't want to see, I don't want to think about superhero sex lives is really what I'm getting at. Cause if you start to think about superhero sex lives, that is a road that you're going down that leads nowhere good. Because if you start to think about it, you think about Batman going down on Catwoman. Well, I guess it's the only part of his face that's exposed. So in that sense, it works if he's still in costume. But, you know, then he's got to get that gruff voice going. You know, he could get lockjaw. You don't want that when you're out there fighting crime. And, you know, what if the Hulk, you know, the Hulk turns into, you know, Bruce Banner turns into the Hulk when he gets angry or frustrated. Well, what if the Hulk had ED one night and a little erectile dysfunction, then he gets all crazy and turns into the Hulk in bed? That's not going to be good for anybody. And you think any woman has ever been sexually satisfied by the Flash? You know, you're going to talk about a guy that's like a two pump chump. The Flash, you wouldn't even know he was there. Be gone, done and gone. So you don't want to think about superhero sex lives is what I'm saying. This topic has brought it up a little bit for me in my mind. And really, here's the other thing. Batman, he wouldn't have to go down on Catwoman. I guarantee you he has something in his utility belt to take care of that for him. Batman is prepared for every situation. Just keep that in mind. Switching over to Marvel news, Kevin Feige came out and responded to some, you know, questions. And one was, are we going to get a season two of WandaVision? And his answer was very non-committal. You know, he didn't really say no. What he said was, that story will continue. How, we're not ready to commit to yet. Like, at least tell us how that story is going to continue. Now, we know Wanda is a big, big part of the Doctor Strange sequel. So her story is going to continue there. Will Vision show up there? Will it be White Vision? Well, you know, are they going to just take her out of the Doctor Strange movie into a WandaVision series too? And if they did a WandaVision series too, they can't do it the same way, right? You can't do that sitcom-y setup thing throughout the generations because they've done that and Wanda should know better now. So I think fans kind of wanting WandaVision season two, I think if we do get something that continues the WandaVision story, it'll be very, very different than what we got in that first season. Morbius is headed to theaters. Jared Leto going to be the vampire of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Or is it part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Tyrese, who is in the film, he was doing some press and somebody asked him, hey, is Morbius in the MCU? And he said 100%. Oh, it is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Undoubtedly. And then Sony, who's putting the movie out, and really only they're starting to work towards separating themselves from the MCU. They were like, no. Wait. Morbius, not part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That is not part of the MCU. So who do you believe? Do you believe Tyrese or do you believe Sony? Or do you think it's kind of up in the air? That's where I lend myself. I think the film, there's no way the film will definitively put itself out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's not going to, you know, have a disclaimer at the beginning or anything like that. It probably will not have a lot that ties it to the MCU. I think a lot will depend on how it's received, how well it does, and if they can continue to find a working relationship, Sony and Marvel. If they can, sure, Morbius is going to probably get looped into the MCU. If they can't, Morbius, you're out on your own. I think right now, as we sit before the film is released and people see, you know, how it does, how it's received, and before we get to further talks between Marvel and Sony and if they're going to continue sharing the characters, we don't know. Could be part, could not be part. I'm willing to bet his agent told him it was part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Tyrese, to get him to take the role. hey, you're going to be part of the MCU. It's the biggest thing that's in film right now. Get involved. And he's like, yeah, sure, I'm on board. So that would be my guess there. Black Widow finally coming to theaters in July, and the first reactions are online now, and unsurprisingly, they are overwhelmingly positive. This really doesn't shock me. Marvel has been a critic's darling for years, even on films that I've watched and been like, yeah, that was okay. Didn't, you know, blow my socks off, but the way some critics talked about it, it was like they reinvented film. You know, so Black Widow, I expected it to get some good reviews. A lot of people saying it has definitely a James Bond Mission Impossible feel, and I would get that from the trailers. I've seen a couple of bad reviews that said it was a little stagnant, but overall, the early reactions to Black Widow have been positive. I'm hopeful that it is good. I think it's a little bit of a shame it took Marvel this long to get Black Widow her own solo film. It kind of feels like an afterthought. I know this kicks off Phase 4, but, you know, knowing what happens to that character, I feel like this is more a, you know, pro, like a bookend on Phase 3 before we get into Phase 4. It's almost like a transitional piece. And in Marvel TV right now, Loki continues. Loki episode 2 was this past week. Really good episode for Loki. Definitely picked up a bit. My criticism of the first episode was pacing. Still had a little bit of pacing problems in episode 2, but not as many. And they definitely gave us a better idea on where this show is headed. We got to see our villain. We know who the villain is, maybe. I mean, obviously, shape-shifting, and, there's ways around it. But if they aren't pulling a fast one on us, we know who the villain is. I will spoil that in 3, 2, 1. We're looking at Lady Loki as our villain, and she was more than a match for the Loki that we've come to know and love in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in their first encounter. But it was really cool. I like this kind of dichotomy they have. Tom Hiddleston, Owen Wilson, they play off each other very, very well. And kind of this detective Loki works out really well for the character because he still gets to be smarmy and smart alecky while at the same time helping. So it fits the character really well. The writing is very, very well done. I'm excited to see where Loki continues to go. But so far, this has been my favorite Marvel television show. WandaVision, if you listen to the podcast, you know I was pretty meh on. Falcon and Winter Soldier, as much as I wanted to see it, didn't grab me. And Loki, though, I'm on board. So if you've been checking out Loki, let me know your thoughts on episode 2 and where the show is going. And you can always reach me on the social media platforms I mentioned earlier. And do us a favor, if you're digging the show, leave us a review, whether it's on Spotify or iTunes or anything like that. Reviews really, really do help us. And until we chat again, have a great week.